Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
Stay in this moment, this atmosphere of worship. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Welcome to church. So good to see everybody again this morning. Amen. It's the first Sunday of the month, and it's our custom, our tradition here, that as a church family that we receive communion together. Amen. And years ago, my father-in-law started this, and we've just carried this because it's a good practice. Amen. That we start every season, every new month, every great holiday that, you know, that's precious and sacred to us, that we start it to bring us right back to the foot of the cross. Yes. Amen. Yes. You know, we don't get born again, again. But we do got to keep coming back. Yes. We got to get, you know, like if you've traveled anywhere and you use your GPS, and if you're like me, you know the way you're going, but GPS has you going in a different direction. It tries to catch up with you. Yep. Well, God's not catching up with us. We got to catch up with Him. Yes. Amen. Amen. But every once in a while, you know, we'll hear that, and it says, you know, recalculating, depending on what, platform you're using, and it'll try to get you back on course and back on course. Right. And in my case, it goes on for about 45 minutes trying to get me back on course on some of the trips I go on. Well, communion is one of those great things that it gets us back on course. Jesus. It brings us right back to why we do this, who we are, who we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And on the, we just celebrated 4th of July yesterday, 250 years for our nation. Amen.
Amen.
You do realize that we're still a baby nation compared to some of these other countries and nations that have been around for millennia plus. We're a baby nation.
Yeah.
And it's amazing in how short period of time our nation has forgotten the price that was paid for our freedom here. Never mind the fact that we came here, we purposed to come here to serve God,
right,
to get out from under that religious, tyranny, that we came here to serve God according to the scriptures. That's how this nation was birthed. But even still, we came here for that, and still that tyranny followed us here.
Right.
Until one day, a group of people has said, enough's enough.
Yeah.
And there was a price that was paid for that. They knew when they signed that Declaration of Independence, it was a death sentence. They knew that when they signed it. That's why I really do appreciate, if you've ever paid attention to it, John Hancock's smack dab in the center, and it's the largest signature. Because basically that was his way of saying, I want to make sure that they know where I stand.
Yes.
There is no question. Through the course of the Revolutionary War, they estimate 25,000 people gave up their lives to birth this nation, to bring freedom to this nation. Now, they say that roughly about 6,800 died on the battlefield. The rest of that died as results of injury, disease, and all the things that came because of, but yet they were still willing to pay the price. And our nation has lost sight of that. We've turned, and there's nothing wrong with celebrating, and we should. 250 years, that's a big deal for us. We should be celebrating that. But we can never forget the price that was paid.
Right.
The price that was willing to be paid. Amen. I always say this around 4th of July. How much more so for you and I? We belong to a better kingdom.
Yes.
We belong to a much better kingdom.
Yes.
Thousands did not have to pay the price. One did. And he paid a price that's so severe. We just sang a song, I'll Never Know. Now, I got a feeling when we get to heaven, we're going to figure it out. This side of heaven, we may never know the price that was paid.
So
but if we stop for a moment and examine ourselves, And that's the purpose of communion.
Yes.
And we just step back for a moment and remind ourselves, wait a minute, I know who I was.
Yes.
The key is was. I know where I was going. I know the price that I deserve to pay. But thank you, Jesus. You paid a price that no human could pay. You paid a price that no angel could pay. You paid a price that only God Himself could pay.
Hallelujah.
That I would never have to suffer what was rightly due me. It's proper to go back and examine ourselves. We don't condemn ourselves. We don't live in the past, certainly. But it is proper to go back and, Lord, thank you. I'm not who I used to be. Lord, thank you that you dealt with me. Lord, thank you that you loved me before I even knew I needed you. Thank you that you set all these things up before I even considered bowing my knee to you. But you did all this anyways. And even if I never did it, you still did it for me. That's how much you love me. Now, thank you, Jesus. We're sitting here this morning. And hopefully, if you're sitting here, you're not just here out of a religious obligation, that you've actually bowed your knee and bowed your life to Jesus Christ. Amen? But when we come here and we do this, and this is why we do this, and this is why we continue to do this, not out of some religious obligation, not out of some tradition that we've got to do this or else, but every once in a while, and what better time to do it than the beginning of a new month, to just examine ourselves. Lord, thank you that you went all the way. You paid the price. Lord, I'm so grateful that I met you.
Yes.
Lord, I'm so grateful that somebody went before me to pay the price that I would have access to a place like this.
Yes.
To learn about you.
Yes.
To grow with you.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord,
thank you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul dealing with the church of Corinth, verse 24, it says, and when he had given thanks, he break it. He's speaking about Jesus on that, what we call the Last Supper. He break it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance. Do this in remembrance. It's proper to remember. Like our current president or not, thank God he's not trying to rewrite or erase our history. But we came out of a season where the nation was trying to erase everything.
Yes.
And get rid of everything. Yeah, we're a baby nation. Yeah, we got some things we're not proud of. We've got some things that we are proud of and we should be.
Yes.
But the moment you start erasing things and getting rid of things and forgetting things, you forget where you came from.
Yeah.
And you find yourselves going back and repeating those things again. There's a reason why we had those monuments. So we didn't go back and make the same mistakes again. That we can go back and look and say, thank God we grew from that. Thank God we don't celebrate that, but we learn from that. Amen. Do this in remembrance. We do the same thing in our Christian walk. We don't go back in the good old days. Those good old days almost killed you and put you in hell.
That's right.
But it is proper to go back, Lord, thank you. In the middle of all of that, you were showing up. In the middle of all of that, you spared my life time after time after time after time. Thank you, Lord, that in the middle of all that chaos that I was creating in my own life, you were there because you had a better plan for me.
Yes, Lord.
And thank you, Jesus, you didn't leave me there. Amen. We do this in remembrance of who? The church? No. Jesus and his work. And his work that's still working in our lives. 25 goes on to say, and after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. In other words, I paid for a better way for you. My blood is going to purchase this for you. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you do eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show, King James, show the Lord's death till he come. That word show means proclaim. That word show means declare. Not just in speech, but in lifestyle.
Thank you, Lord.
that as we receive communion in just a few moments, this isn't a moment where we just do this and walk off. No, we are declaring, yes, proclaiming. What we're about to do is what's already happening in our lives.
Thank you, Lord.
That Jesus Christ has purchased my life. Jesus Christ owns my life.
Yes.
I'm not my own anymore.
Right.
He purchased me with such a high price,
yes,
that my life belongs to Him.
Yes.
And in doing so, I am showing, proclaiming, declaring that Jesus Christ,
yes,
paid a price that I get to now live out.
Amen.
Amen.
So good.
27 goes on to say, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily, in a shameful manner, in a manner that mocks God. I hate what I'm about to say, but in this great nation, we have so many Americans that are mocking the price that was paid for our freedom by their lifestyle, their actions, their behavior, what they're doing. They're mocking. They're insulting. And yes, it is their right. It's their liberty. It's their freedom to demonstrate, protest, all this other goofy stuff. But they're mocking where we came from, the blood that was shed. How much worse for a Christian to receive of communion in a moment, in an act that's supposed to say, no, Lord, I'm living the life that you paid for. But yet as I'm receiving this, basically I'm mocking God, mocking His sacrifice, mocking the blood that was shed, that, Lord, you died so I could be free from sin, but I'm just going to live sinfully anyways. You died so I could be delivered from all those vices, but I'm going to hang on to them anyways. You died so I could walk in the newness, the new creation that you've created me to be, but I'm going to choose the old man instead, but still claim you and go to heaven. That's unworthily. That's mocking. That's what this is talking about. And it says that they shall be guilty of the body and the blood of our Lord, because that's what put Him on the cross. The lifestyle before Him is what put Him on the cross. Your sin, even though it happened 2,000 years ago, your sin, my sin, put Him on the cross.
Right.
And to choose that lifestyle once again, or to continue in that lifestyle, when we're doing this, it's mocking Him as if we're putting Him back on the cross once again. So when Paul is dealing with the church of Corinth, he's dealing with the same thing that frustrates me with my own nation. The people who have lost the understanding of where we came from, the price that was paid. This was no light deal for our God. The Christ who knew no sin not only took on the heaviness and the weight of sin, He took on the guilt of sin. Now, there are people all over the world who have been incarcerated for things that they did not do. Imagine sitting in a prison cell, accused of doing something you didn't do. The judge, the jury, everybody said you did it, but you didn't do it. And you got to sit there knowing you're innocent, but the weight, the heaviness. And if you've never been in a jail, and I hope you never have, if you've never been in there to visit or minister, you got to be anointed to do that. You cannot walk into any of those places without feeling the spirit and the demons that are in that place. Our Jesus took all of this upon Him. And you got to make it personal for you. He took that on for you. 28 says, but let a man examine himself. That means judge yourself. Not condemn yourself, but judge yourself. Lord, I'm about to receive of these elements. Is my life declaring the work that you're working in my life? Do people see it? That should be one question. But more so, Lord, do you see it? Not my opinion of it, not my definition of it. Lord, does my life line up to the work that you want to work in my life? The work that your word says that you're supposed to be doing in my life. Does my life line up to this? You judge yourself. You're not judging your neighbor. You're not examining, listen, even married couples, at this moment, you're not even examining, judging your spouse. You're judging you. You're examining you. Just like your spouse is supposed to be doing the same for them. And hopefully we raise our kids to the point where they understand this. They do this for themselves. But until that point, you judge them. Because you're supposed to be leading them by example. We just had Father's Day and we talked about fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath. What's your behavior at home, dads? Are you mocking God at home? Are you teaching your kids that God's only important when God's important to you? If he's important because something else hasn't come up? All these things we do, we examine ourselves. Now thank God for his mercy.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus, for his grace. Because in all of that, he helps us.
He
deals with us. He knows where we're at, but he won't let us stay where we're at. He's always nudging us, moving us forward. Amen. But it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, say weak, and sickly, say sickly, and many sleep, say sleep. Sleep there is means death. They die. It's a progression. When we start treating the things of God and we forget the price that he paid, not the price you paid, you've paid no price compared to the price he paid. You think coming to church is a sacrifice? It will be one day. It's not today. When the church is removed, which is coming very soon, when the church is removed, for those who don't want to have church assembly like this, get ready. That day's coming. You can have it. But don't tell me you're going to serve Jesus Christ in that day when you can't serve him today.
Right.
Yep. Weak. Weak. When you start losing sight of, forget the price that was paid,
right,
it starts to weaken your Christian walk. Because then you just treat the things of God lightly. Then it says sickly. Say sickly again.
Sickly.
It's a progression.
Yeah.
You go from being weakened to sickened.
Yeah.
Now all sorts of things are coming in and violating and infiltrating and all the things that you once were delivered from, set free from. It's funny. They find their way back into your life. And then it says death. King James uses the word sleep, but it means death. Now death can be natural. Worse is spiritual.
Yes.
You start to die spiritually. Why? All because of how we treat not the communion elements, the price that was paid and what they represent. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
Amen.
If we deal with ourselves now, God won't have to.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So just like our nation celebrating 250 years, we can't do anything about the rest of the nation, but in Jesus' name, may we not forget the price that our forefathers paid. May we never forget the price that our fathers and grandfathers paid. More so as believers, as Christians, especially in this day, may we never lose sight of the price that Jesus Christ paid for us. Amen. We will never understand this side of heaven the actual price he paid. We've got all of our movies. We've got all of the depictions. We've got all of the paintings where we've got these images of Jesus Christ in the suffering. It's called his passion that he went through. We've got all these pictures, but Isaiah said, speaking about the Messiah, talking about when he went through his torment, the physical torment, never mind the spiritual, just the physical price that he paid. Isaiah said he didn't even resemble a human by the time they were done with him. We have no idea the price he paid. And he did it without opening his mouth. He did it without calling down a legion of angels. He did it without cursing those people to hell. He did it without speaking them out of existence because he loved us so much. And in fact, one of the final things he said, Father, forgive them.
Yes.
For they know not what they do. The amount of love we get to spend, and I say it that way, we get to spend a lifetime figuring out and finding out how much he loves you.
Yeah.
how much he loves us. The price he paid, we'll never understand. Just like the price that was paid. Most Americans will never understand the price that was paid. Actually, I'll say it this way. I think it's a fair statement. There's not an American today that understands the price that was paid for our nation to be liberated. Now, those who come from other nations who have gone through this, they understand it. We don't. There was a price that was paid that we don't get.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean we should ever forget it.
Amen.
Those who have served, especially time of war, they understand what it means to say, I'm willing to lay down my life.
Absolutely.
May we never lose sight of any of this.
Thank you, Jesus.
And more so today for us believers, may we never lose sight of the price. And if you don't understand it, because everybody's at a different place, a different walk, this is why you begin to judge yourself. Not condemn. You judge yourself. Lord, I was doing this. I was doing this. I did this. I went here. Don't go relive it. But it's proper to go, Lord, I was doing all of that, and yet in the midst of all of that, you love me so much. You sent somebody. You may know the person. Maybe it was the stream. I don't know. But you sent so-and-so to come witness to me, to share the gospel with me, because you loved me so much in the midst of everything that I was doing.
Awesome.
You did that because you love me. Even when I was doing all of this, and you still love me. It's a great place to begin. And then you spend more time walking with God. It's amazing how much he shows up and says, yeah, I wasn't just there then. I showed up here too.
Yes.
This should have taken you out. Remember when you got into that car wreck and you didn't understand, you were high out of your mind, drunk out of your mind, and you don't understand how you walked away? I spared your life. I was there. Because I knew, had that taken your life, you'd be separated from me forever. I showed up then. I showed up then. I showed up on the battlefield before you even knew me. I showed up on the battlefield before you knew me. I spared your life because I had a better plan for you.
Hallelujah.
So you may not understand completely the price he paid, but you can start to look at the love portion of it. Lord, you love me so much. You paid a price I'll never understand. Can you say amen, church?
Amen.
Would everybody just stand to your feet for a quick moment with me? Hallelujah. Just everybody bow your heads in here. We're standing just to honor the King. Honor our Jesus. Heads bowed right now because I'm going to be praying. We do this every time we receive communion. And you judge yourselves right now. You examine your hearts right now. But Father, I thank you right now that we're standing here in your house once again. The first Sunday of July, 2026. You knew we'd be here today. Lord, we're so grateful that you showed up in our lives. Be it through a television program, a book that somebody put in our hands, a stream, some co-worker, or maybe you sent an angel that we didn't even understand. We didn't know that we were entertaining an angel that led us into your house, led us among your people, brought us to the place that we heard and learned about the gospel, and that you paid a price for us that we don't have to go to hell. We can go to heaven. Lord, we stand here today, one, to honor you. Two, to deal with ourselves. Before we receive these elements this morning, we want to receive them in a worthy manner. We know we're not perfect. The only perfect one is you, Jesus. But each and every day that we wake up, it's a brand new day for us. Each and every day that we walk forward and put our foot forward, you're helping us to be better and walk more upright in you, in the things of your kingdom. So Lord, we thank you right now that we can examine ourselves. We can deal with ourselves. That as we're doing things maybe or causing things that aren't right according to your word, Lord, help us to deal with these things. We lay them at the altar today. We ask that not only do you forgive us of these things, but you heal us from these things. You deliver us from these things. That whatever they may be, we're not chasing them any longer. We're not doing them any longer. that we're walking under your anointing, by your leading. And Lord, as we deal with ourselves this morning, we thank you that your anointing is here to deal with us. That when we come to the table and we receive these elements, that it brings you honor. It's a great time of remembrance of what you've done for us. And the price that not only that you have paid, but the price that's still working in our lives today. So Lord, I ask right now if we have anything against you, anything that we've done to hurt you, to insult you, to insult your work, to insult the things of yours, those things which you call holy, any of those things, Lord, we ask right now that you forgive us. We repent of those things right now. And we thank you, not only do you receive this moment, but you will forgive us, and your anointing will be there to help us to turn from these things. Lord, I thank you for this. Lord, I thank you for the anointing, the atmosphere that's in this room right now. It's a holy atmosphere. Yes. It's a reverent atmosphere. Yes. That's not because of me, Lord. That's because of your people. So, Lord, I thank you for this moment in your house. You can't get this on the other side of the stream. You only get this in the house. Yes. Lord, I thank you that you're here this morning with us. Now, Lord, I pray for anybody in the house right now, if they don't know you, they can bow their hearts before you right now and say, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord, be my Savior. It's not the perfect prayer. It's about being the perfect vessel. Yes. Allowing you entrance, access, and to do what only you can do. Not just save us, but to lead us. So, Father, if there's anybody in the house right now who doesn't know, or maybe they're we call them backslidden or prodigals, or they've kind of drifted from you, let them be this moment that while they're judging themselves, they're getting right with you. And if that's you in the house right now, it looks like this. It sounds like this. Lord Jesus, I repent from either not ever knowing you or walking away from you. I'm bowing my life right now today in your house before you. I repent of any type of sin that I've had before you. And I ask you to help me, lead me in the days ahead. Be my Lord, be my Savior. You died for me, my life belongs to you. It's just that simple. Doesn't matter if you're streaming with us right now. It's just that simple. It's not about a perfect prayer. It's never been about a prayer. Because the prayer is only where it starts. That prayer is supposed to initiate that walk of what you believe and how you're going to walk this out and how God's going to walk this out with you. So, Father, I thank you right now. You're helping all of us this morning. I thank you again for this reverent, this peaceful atmosphere that's in here right now, Lord. Lord, thank you for this. In these chaotic, weird, strange days, it is so refreshing to come into your house in the midst of chaos and just find your peace and find your rest. Lord, thank you. Thank you for showing up this morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just say that right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for helping us, Lord. Thank you for being here, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Church, you can be seated for just a quick moment. Thank you, Lord. The ushers, ministers, they're going to help us right now. They're going to set the table up for us. A couple of quick instructions if you're just new with us or maybe it's been a while. The ushers will release you in a moment, row by row. Come down on either side of the table and, of course, you know, come down this way and then exit this way. But on both sides of the table and grab the elements. In each of the trays, the elements are double stacked, juice in one. The other one is the little wafer, the cracker, which represents the body, the bread that was broken. So you'll take two cups back to your seat, and then we're going to receive it together as a church family. Amen. We always keep our kids down here during this time because we want to teach them that this is about worship. This is about honoring God. We can't find anywhere in the scriptures that there's an age limit or an age requirement to receiving the holy elements of communion. So parents, guardians, you know your kids. If they understand what this is all about, they're more than welcome to receive of the elements and to partake of this with us. And if not, we always encourage you to bring them to the table anyways. Proverbs tells us to train up a child in the way that they should go, for when they're old, they will not depart from it. This is a great training moment for your kids to teach them and show them that this is not just a religious thing. This is part of our worship. This is our lifestyle. This is who we are because of who He is. Amen. So the kids are welcome to come to the table as well. Also, if you're unable to physically come down to the table, if you've got somebody with you, they're more than welcome to take a couple of the elements back with you. If you don't have that and you do need assistance, the ushers would be honored to help you and serve you. Amen. So ushers, go ahead. You can start releasing. And I'm encouraging you, when you go back to your seats after receiving the elements, worship for a few more moments with us. Amen. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord.
You're the one who walked on water, and you calmed the raging seas. You command the highest mountain to fall upon their knees. You're the one who welcomes sinners, and you open blinded eyes. You restored a broken hearted, and you brought the dead to life. Forgetting all our sins, you remember all your promises. You are amazing, more than a forever our God.
Hallelujah. Would you lift the elements up with me right now? Father, we thank you and we praise you for these elements and what they represent. They mean everything to us because you mean everything to us.
Yes.
The price you paid, this side of heaven, we may not understand, but we know it was a severe price.
Yes.
Just at the simple examination of our own lives, that you were willing to do this. When we make this personal and we understand, if I was the only one, you would have done this.
Thank you, Lord.
I think every human can honestly say within themselves, there's not a human on this planet that's worth that. And yet you still loved us so much,
Jesus,
that you thought we were worth it.
Yes.
That you paid that price. So Lord, in this house, we declare, we proclaim that we will never lose sight of the price that you paid. We will always come back to this table,
yes,
to honor you, to deal with ourselves, that our lives, may they reflect what these elements declare, that we are born again, we are blood washed, we are blood bought,
yes,
we're under a much better covenant today,
yes,
because of the price that you paid.
Yes, Lord.
So Lord, we thank you for these elements,
yes,
that constant reminder that we belong to you. And we're declaring it today.
Yes.
We belong to you.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus,
yes,
for paying that price. Lord, we thank you for the little wafer right now.
Yes.
Your body broken for us that we could be part of the family once again. Lord, we're so grateful. So grateful. We honor you this morning. And we thank you that we are part of your family.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Say amen.
Amen.
Go ahead. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the juice. We thank you for the juice. We know there's no power in these elements alone. But what they represent is all powerful.
Hallelujah.
Your blood.
Yes.
So powerful, it washes us white as snow. Your blood so powerful, it wrote a contract.
Come on.
Between God the Father, Jesus the Son, in heaven, that no human, no demon, no angel, and no government could ever undo.
Amen.
That those that bow their knee to Jesus Christ, we belong to you.
Yes.
Your blood purchased that. No one can change that. We're heaven bound because of that.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we're so grateful. May every time we do this, every time we come in here and we receive these elements, may it put hell on notice.
Yes.
Once again, that we are. We're not trying to be, we are.
We are.
We're not hoping to be, we are.
We are.
Christians, we're believers.
Yes.
We're sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Hallelujah.
Because of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
We're heaven bound.
Yes.
Because of your blood.
Thank you, Lord.
So Lord, we receive this morning in your honor.
Yes.
Again, we will never lose sight of the price that you paid for us. And may our lives declare that in the days to follow. In Jesus' name, say amen.
Amen.
Go ahead. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you for your
hallelujah. There's little cup receptacles in the backs of the seats. So you can put the cups in there. And then lift your hands to heaven. Just praise Him for a moment. Worship Him for a moment. Hallelujah. We just celebrated in this nation for 250 years. We can celebrate as believers for 2,000 years. His blood has been working. 2,000 years His church has been growing. 2,000 years Satan has tried to stop it, try to silence us, try to quiet us, try to dumb us down, water us out, and He can't do it. 2,000 years the church is still going strong because of His work, His power, His anointing. So give Him some praise in the house. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Be seated for a moment. I know it's a little warm in here. Don't complain. It won't be long. If Jesus tarries, it won't be long. Yeah, that's as far as I'm going with that. So don't complain. Dawn was at the house the other day and she said she was cold. I was ready to throw her out of my house. Hallelujah. Of course, if you know Dawn and my wife, there's something wrong with them. They always keep us laughing. Their humor, their you know them. I don't have to explain it. Stinking. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can I just exhort for a few moments this morning? Hallelujah. Ushers, you can be seated for just a quick moment. We're going to receive our offering in a couple of minutes, but I just want to share a few things kind of on my heart. I have a message, but maybe we'll just hit it on Tuesday. I don't know. But I just feel that just staying in this moment right now, not losing sight of the price that was paid. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, we're about to present tithes and offerings, and we're about to sow and give, and we do all that because there's verses in the scriptures that tell us why, you know, that they're for today, they're proper for today, and what they do, what they bring, and praise God. But you do, I think you do, but I'm just going to say it anyways. You realize that the seats that you're sitting in, somebody paid a price for you to sit there? Every church that's on this planet right now, God ordained, somebody paid a price. Somebody paid for that. Somebody sowed for that. Somebody gave towards that. Why would they do that? Well, the moment we just came out of. Because they understood what Jesus did for them. And they were so grateful that somebody, Jesus, was willing to pay a price so they didn't have to go to hell. That they didn't have to stay lost in their sin, bound to their issues and problems. That God could heal them, deliver them, set them free. Why? Because He loved them. He paid a price for us. And then somebody got a hold of that. Somebody grabbed onto that and said, Lord, You did that for me. What can I do for You? And the Lord said, simple. Bring My gospel.
Yes.
Tell the world. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And of course, we know it as the Great Commission. That we go into all the world preaching the gospel, preaching His kingdom, preaching baptism in the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. You know, dealing with serpents. Serpents isn't snakes. It's talking about deception. Bringing truth is what it means.
Right.
Bringing the truth of the Scriptures. Standing for truth.
Right.
In a day where so many people are running from it. Because it's the truth that sets you free.
Yeah.
Not the lie that you're peddling. The lie that you want to hold on to. The deception that makes you feel good in your moment. But ultimately it's destroying your life. No, it's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that brings the liberty of God, the anointing of God, the flow of God into your life. Amen. This past Thursday, we were talking about in our Bible study just certain ways to, you know, how you teach, you know, study the Bible. How do you look up a topic? How do you just navigate some of these great tools that have been protected, preserved, and demonstrated for us? You know, how do you navigate the Scriptures when you don't know how to look something up? And that was our basis of our topic. And of course, Patty had mentioned, you know, a week prior that the topic we were going to look at was healing. Okay, that's a great topic to look at. So what does the Bible have to say? So we navigated through the scriptures. How do you look up verses? How do you do? How do you deal with? How do you get to understanding? And, you know, and we're not done with that. We're going to continue on that. But in healing, one of the definitions, it struck me, and it's like, yeah, because most people don't seem to get this. It isn't just the healing, the cure, the remedy. It's also known as a conduit.
Yes.
It's a means and ways that God can flow His anointing into your life. And of course, in it, we understand that when God's anointing is flowing in your life, it brings healing. But there has to be a conduit for it to flow. The electricity that's running through here right now, there's conduits. Now, there's actual units called conduits. That's where we run the wires through. But the wire itself is a conduit. It's a conductor. It allows the power to flow through it to get to the bulb so you have light in here. Amen. There's different ways that God's anointing flows into our lives. Amen. And one of those, you can like it, reject it, but it doesn't change the fact it works. You're giving.
You're right. It's true.
It's a conduit for God's anointing to flow into your life.
It is.
It's a means in which He can use.
Yes.
An avenue that He can use. This is why it's one of the hottest topics being attacked the most. You know what another one is? A pastor.
Yes. Yep.
Because God gave us pastors.
Yes, He did.
He said, I would give you shepherds after my own heart.
Yes.
Old Testament. Ephesians, He says, I will give you the fivefold ministry gifts, pastors being one of them. He said, I will give you.
Yes.
So if Jesus gave it to us, don't you think maybe we should use it?
Yes.
Because there's a reason for it? Well, the same thing with giving. Giving is, it's a conduit.
It really is.
It's a means, it's an avenue for God to be able to flow His anointing into our lives.
Sure.
Now there's different ways, there's different means. You sow, you reap, amen. You know, if you're believing for something, you sow towards it. You know, there's different means and ways that we handle all this thing. But the idea, the understanding is why we have this.
Right.
Because I know the argument that some people will, God can do everything, why doesn't He just do? Well, let me know how that's working out for you. Now, I'll explain to you why it's working for us. Not because we do out of obligation, not because we do out of fear, not because we do because somebody said. No, we do because God showed. God has proven time and time and time and time again that when people came, because it's not just the giving, it's what's attached to the giving. Because there's worship attached to the giving. There's worship attached to the holy tithe. There's worship attached to even the seed you're sowing. When you're sowing these things, we're worshiping God saying, Lord, I honor You. I worship You because of what You've already done, or I'm worshiping You because I know what You're about to do.
Yes.
I don't give to get. We don't give out of necessity.
No.
Corinthians teaches us that. We don't give grudgingly. You don't want to give, don't give.
Right.
I've never understood this. 17 years I've been preaching, you don't want to tithe, don't tithe.
Right.
Just don't do it.
Right.
But why are you going to attack us? Because we want to do it.
That's right.
If you don't want what we have, then just don't do what we do. But don't get mad at us because we have what the Word says we can have, because we do what it says we can, what we're supposed to do. Just leave us alone.
Yeah.
We're having a blast. Honoring and serving our God. So go find. There's plenty of places you can go that'll peddle the garbage that you want, or what you want to believe or what you don't want to believe. Just leave us alone. I've never understood this. I'll never understand this because I don't think that way. I just want to serve God. And if this is one of those means that He said, not only if you worship Me with this, this will be a conduit. This will be a means of flow into your life. By a show of hands in here, how many have experienced the blessing of God because of your giving? Now, if I was a gambling man, because they try to say, well, it was just coincidence, it was going to happen anyways. I don't know what the Mega Millions is right now, but all of us should go out and play it right now. Because the amount of coincidences that happen in here just because of what we just said, come on. Don't insult my God. Don't insult his word. No, it's not the giving part. It's the worship that's attached to the giving part. See, my father-in-law used to call it bucket plunking. And the reason why he would call it, because it was just like, it was like a plunk. If you drop a coin into a plastic bucket, you just hear the plunk. Well, that's not what that is, but that's what it sounds like to God when there's no worship attached to it. When it's just, well, I'm going to give to get. Well, that's how it sounds to God. But why do you think we have so many verses in the scriptures that talk about these different things that we do being a sweet smelling savor, a sweet smelling aroma that goes up before the throne of God, that our worship enters into his throne room? Why do you think we have all these verses? Because it means something to him. He doesn't just want a bunch of people that just want what he can do. He came down here to be with us and for those who want him. Amen. We were created to worship him. That's why man worships something. Every human being on this planet worships something. Money's a hot topic. Why? Because it's attached to our livelihood. It's attached to what we do. It's attached to what we're able to do. God knows that. Now, was that his intent in the garden? No. In the garden, he said, it's all yours. Just take care of it, tend it, but don't touch that tree. That's mine. That's a picture of the tithe. That's mine. Tend it, keep it, don't eat it. It's mine. The first murder written in our scriptures is over the tithe. And even God, when he deals with Cain, he's like, Cain, when you once did it right, in other words, when your worship was attached to it, did I not bless you? Did I not receive it? Just go back. Just get your heart right again. Go back to worshiping me. He wouldn't. He didn't. Nothing new. Still happening today. But it's not the giving part of it. It's the worship. But it's also remembering the price that was paid. And that's just where I want to stay for a few moments. This is your sermon this morning. So rejoice. I'll have you out of here before 2 o'clock. Somebody went before us. Somebody paid a price before us. Long before Higher Ground Ministries was birthed, somebody went before. My father-in-law was a teenager on Pismo Beach, California, surfing with his buddies, just doing his deal. And a young preacher, young evangelist, a Dr. Jerry Seville, commissioned by Kenneth Copeland to go onto that beach and evangelize. And he went on that beach kind of not knowing anything. He's like, what am I going to do? What am I going to tell these people? How am I going to get their attention? And the Lord said, just find out where they're at. So what he did is he began to ask them about surfing. What are you guys doing? How does this work? How do you guys stay up on the board? I don't know all that he said, but you can actually read it in his book about salvation. And he said, I just began to ask questions. And it's funny. Then they began to ask him questions. Well, what are you doing here? You don't look like us. You don't talk like us. And he began to evangelize. A young Carrie Twing, probably 16, 17 years old at the time, heard the gospel for the first time. Probably in a way that actually had life behind it. You know who paid that price? Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Seville. To go onto that beach to preach the gospel. That planted the seed in my father-in-law's heart that one day, through a course of different things that would transpire and happen, that through time, because somebody sowed a price, somebody paid a price, because Jerry Seville couldn't get on that beach. And like, he could go on the beach freely, but it cost him to get there. There was a whole team of people down there with him. He wasn't alone that day. There was a whole team of people. The ministry went out to preach the gospel. They had to get everybody down there. They had to move everybody in. They had to get them all down, get them, you know, dispatched and preach. I've been to that beach. It's kind of pretty cool now, just to have that. Now I can actually see the beach and just look at how large it is. You know, some of our beaches around here are small, even on the coastline. They're kind of narrow, they're kind of small. They're like, you can only walk up and down so far, but the beaches in California, I understand why people want to live there. I really do. If it wasn't for the cost of living in their government, of course ours ain't much better, but I get it. But the beaches, they're massive. Pismo Beach is massive. There was a price. These preachers, these ministers had to go out and they had to spread out. This wasn't just some 5-minute little deal. They were out there for days preaching. It cost something. They paid a price. Jerry Savile would later go on and build schools and churches all over the world. There's a price to be paid for that. Somebody had to sow into that. But through time, anyways, my point being is young Kerry Twing, he comes, he moves back here after graduation. Starts working at Digital, for those of you who came out of Digital. Gets born again through that whole process. And then God begins to use him. But he had to grow with God. He had to grow in the things of God. So he began to feed off of books. He went to Bible school. He began to feed off of the teachings and the writings of men like Dr. Hagin, Fred Price, Kenneth Copeland. And there's many others. I mean, I've got his entire library. I have all of his books that he fed off of. And you can tell they're older. They've all yellowed. Books are things that, for you young people, they have pages. You actually have to open it. But it costs money to print that stuff. Somebody had to pay a price. And then, you know, of course, now then he's called a pastor. He begins to pioneer this work. Some of you were here then. You sowed into this. The very seats that you guys were all sitting in, some of us paid for them. For you to have a place to sit and come in. And now, in Jesus' name, we're going to have AC in here at some point. I think AC is the high thing right now. But the point is somebody paid for this. For what reason? So you had a place to come into. Yes, it's warm in here, but we can at least come out of the elements of rain, thunder, winter time. Thank God we got the winter thing fixed. We've got heat in here finally. Yes. We just got to get the AC for the summer. But somebody paid for that. For what reason? So you could have a place to come to not just experience and then go out, but have an encounter with God like we did this morning. Exactly. The presence of God, the peace of God, the anointing of God. Somebody paid for that. Why? Because they met Jesus. They met the working power of Jesus Christ, the anointing power of Jesus Christ, his blood-altering power that transformed their lives. And somebody was willing to sow before you. I've never understood this, why people will come into the house of God, churches all over the world, enjoy those moments, experience God, claim that God changed their lives, and then leave and start attacking the very means that brought them in. Somebody tithed, somebody gave, somebody sowed, and then they try to tear that all down. I don't get it. I do, but I don't. I get it because in the midst of that, somehow they lost sight. They forgot about the price that was paid. It's not the finances. It's his blood. He paid that. He's not asking us to. He did. But because he did that, we do all of this for him. And the beauty of our God is we can't outgive him. We don't give to get, but God, when you do it his way and you do it for him and his glory and his kingdom, that's where that hundredfold comes into in Mark 10. When you give to the preaching of the gospel and the work of the ministry, all sufficiency in all things at all times, his perfect measure at the perfect time to do exactly what it's supposed to do each and every time, God will make sure your things are taken care of. Why? Because we love him so much for what he did for us that we're willing to sow to continue the gospel being preached. And he said, because of that, I'll take care of all your stuff. Because you're honoring my son and the price that he paid so others could meet him. That's others could walk with him. Others could grow in him. Amen. So you can say whatever you want. You can mouth off whatever you want. You can buddy up with those who hate what we're about to do right now. And you can sit there and slander this and make fun of this. But at the same time, the only person you're hurting is yourself. Because if you haven't picked up on this, I'm not saying this to you. I'm just saying this to the atmosphere. If you haven't picked up on this yet, we're not stopping. We're not going away. Because we will always honor our Jesus. Because of the work that he did for us, come on. This isn't work to us. It's an honor to serve him. It's an honor to walk with him. It's an honor to have his anointing, his peace, his joy, his healing, delivering power work. It's an honor to have all of this. If this is the least I can do for him, come on. Amen. Amen. Don't ever lose sight of the work he did. Because we can shift that very easily. And don't mistake what I just said. Because we can shift from the work that he did and make it about the work we did.
Right.
It's not about the work we did, but we understand that somebody went before us.
Yes.
Somebody paid a price before us. It's just our turn to do it now if Jesus tarries for the next. But he's the one who paid the price.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Just lift your hands to heaven right now. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you for the work that you have done and the work that you're still doing. Thank you, Lord. We're so honored. We're so blessed to belong to you, especially in these last days, to have your anointing on our lives, to have your peace in our lives. What an honor. So this next moment, Lord, as we continue to honor you, we're asking you in advance to receive it with worship. Lord, we thank you that as we're getting ready to present the holy tithe and give offerings and sow, Lord, we thank you that each and every portion of this, it brings you honor, it brings you glory. It's furthering your kingdom. It's for your work. It's not about us. It's all about you. So, Lord, we thank you that as we're about to do this, Lord, we're preparing our hearts even right now, that we're coming to this altar in just a few moments to worship you once again. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for blessing us so much in these last days that we're blessed to live in this nation. Things are changing all over the planet. But we're blessed to live here in this nation. We're still claiming it. We're still declaring it. This is a Christian nation.
Yes.
It is because we're here.
Yes.
And Lord, we're thankful that because we're here, you're here.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, say amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.